Do you know what makes every Wednesday a good Wednesday? The RGH podcast. It is Wednesday, my dudes. 9 p.m. Eastern time. It is time for the Real Gamer Hour. And we're going to talk about all sorts of things that have to do with gaming. We might even slide in some secret topics. Like, I think we should maybe chat about what are the best gamer gifts this year.
I saw that on Twitter. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Maybe we'll chat about it, but we do have some news and some different topics that we definitely want to hit because they're big ones. I'm Emtash. We've got Cacus HD here and True Vanguard. Again, if you are not familiar with the podcast, we do this every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And let's just jump right into the topics for episode number 63. Aim Junkies, a notorious cheat maker for Destiny 2, is crying, saying, "Bungie are the cheaters. They're bullying us. They're bullying us. They're being unfair. They're being too harsh with their punishments for us. All we're doing is ruining their multiplayer experience.
Their product.
All we're doing is breaking all the terms of service. All we're doing is making a bunch of money selling cheats to people that ruin the experience of their player base." And they
line in our pockets.
They want to shut us down?
This is actually pretty funny. So the way that it shook down, I guess, if you pick that story apart, and I read a lot of the comments on the thread, some people who were, you know, actually work in that sort of field, some lawyers and things like that, legal experts were like, "Let me unpack this for you, what's really happening here," which was helpful. It said, essentially, Bungie's attorneys have been working with their attorneys and saying, "All right, here are the deadlines for, you know, they had court appearances that they didn't show up to. They had deadlines to get information, sign papers, things like that, as they're working through a settlement with these people, okay?" But they just assumed, allegedly, they assumed that their lawyers were just going to take care of all that, and their lawyers did not take care of any of that. They missed deadlines. They defaulted on everything. And so Bungie was like, "All right, now we escalate it." And they're like, "Oh, no." So I don't know if they just expected it to just go away.
Right.
You know?
It's like, I think I was saying that, first of all, thank you to everyone from the Discord who showed up, even though I pinged you. People like, can I say it's so funny? People like, "Rick Cacus pinged us in the Rick Cacus official Discord about Rick Cacus' stream? Yes! I'll do it again, baby!" Now listen, I think D1 Alpha Vet had the funny tweet. He said, "Destiny 2 cheat maker accuses Bungie of being unfair practices." Because it's like, yeah, dude. Oh, like, you wanted to be treated in a fair way. Not to say they were even treated unfairly. It's just funny, like, of all people to be crying about how they were treated,
right,
is like the cheat makers. Like, you guys literally made your living on giving people unfair advantages and giving people ways to take advantage of people. Now you're getting a little taste of your own medicine, baby. Enjoy court, you idiots.
And I'm looking at their Twitter right now, and it's like, "Halo Infinite cheats. Check out this Halo Infinite cheat in action." It's like, they're just relentless. Like, how many companies are you going to call? Are you going to create cheats for? How many games? And like, that's why they need to be sued into the ground. They need to be absolutely bankrupt because they'll just do it for every single game. They must, you know, they obviously have the capability of
they've got the capital. They're selling. I want to know what their bottom line's
like. Remember we talked about the story about like this like cheat maker in China?
In China with the Lambos?
Yeah. They literally bust this. I kind of thought like cheat makers were like, you know, 17-year-old kids in their mom's basement, like hacking away or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, no. They're basically like drug kingpins, but for games, dude. Like, yeah, the China one, this cheat maker in China was busted. Like, what, like multiple, like, I think 27 exotic cars or something. Like, there's like Lambo, Ferrari, Porsche, you know, Lambo, Ferrari, Lambo. It's like, geez, dude.
Well, wasn't it like 150 million or something like that?
They were making
an absurd amount of money,
millions of dollars, like a crazy amount of money. And so it's like, you have to go after these people, right? Because otherwise, They're just going to keep making cheats. If you make a cheat, it should be like, well, I could make a lot of money, but if I get found out, if I get caught, I'm going to be bankrupt, right?
High risk, high reward.
Yeah, high risk, high reward. And now, like, now you want to make cheats? You know what I mean? Like, I think there has to be that, like, downside.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yep.
I just think the irony of the whole situation is really the most comical part of it to me.
It's also so sad, like, you know, it kind of shows you if the cheat makers are making millions of dollars, it shows you how many people buy cheats, dude. Like, yeah. So many
And complain
people.
About microtransactions in the other breath.
Yeah, exactly. Bungie maybe paid $5 for this emote. Meanwhile, I'm spending $100 a month.
For know, wall hacks.
For eight wall hacks because you're trash. You know what I mean? Like,
like, I could see cheating being fun for like maybe like 20 minutes just to go, oh, this is so evil, you know, just to like experience it. But why would you be doing it every single day? Is it that fun? Am I missing out on some crazy dopamine hit of just like cheating in lobbies, shitting on everybody? And it's like, I am a god.
It's like those games we used to play back in the day with the freaking Game Shark. Remember? And we'd put in the codes and you'd turn on God mode and some, and you're not playing against other players. You're just in like Super Mario flying around the map. And that dopamine hit of feeling invincible, you know?
Yeah, but I remember that dopamine hit would hit. You'd be invincible. You'd be slaying out. You'd feel like a god, just like Brandon Marble, an absolute god with the $20 dono. Like, thank you very much. But then you get bored. Like, you'd win. You're invincible. And you get so bored because you're like, well, there goes the challenge. Right? You ruin it for yourself. It's like, dude, anyone can win Warzone, you know what I mean? When your LMG is locking on to people in midair, right? It's like, yeah, it's going to give you a little bit of a dopamine hit, but you're going to get so bored so quick. The real dopamine hit is when you clutch like a 1v4, right? Because of your own skill. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be infinitely more fun than just like pressing a button that just auto aims onto everyone. I can't, like, you know what I mean? I get bored if I'm not getting unlocks, right? Like, if I was had cheats, I would have every unlock in like a day because I would get nothing but headshots. You know what I mean?
But for some of these guys, it's not about necessarily even having fun. It's about
other people's fun.
Well, it's about that, but it's also about making money. I mean, how many of these people are advertising? PayPal me, you know, Venmo me $15 so I can shoot flawless real quick, you know, and they're selling, you know, carry services and ranked, and even Halo's dealing with it right now, which we'll get to later.
No one wants to talk about that, but like a dark side of the recub services is like a lot of recub services will cheat you there, right? Like, how are you able to charge $20 for a flawless run or whatever? Like, right, you could fit, that could be all day. Well, they guarantee it because someone's flying through walls, right?
And I mean, the craziest thing is even like Wish, who is arguably one of the best players in the world. There's no denying it. He was playing with cheaters because it's like, well, we got to get through these runs. Might as well like play with a couple cheaters and be damn sure we're getting through it. So it's like even some good players are playing with or you know, using cheats themselves, which is crazy. And it's like, what's the sanctity of the shooter genre? Honestly, it's to the point where I kind of like don't care about shooter games anymore. Like, am I dying to someone who's cheating? Am I dying to someone who's truly better than me and put in more time? Like, I don't know if you saw my Halo clip the other day where I got shot through a steel beam.
I saw that solid pillar.
And I'm like, just, I don't care.
They're just very armor piercing rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very armor piercing.
But I see that stuff and it's like, okay, maybe it's because I live in Canada, I don't have the best ping to the server, whatever, but it ruins my my enjoyment of the game. And it's like, I would rather play Slay the Spire and, you know, like a roguelike game and just play stuff like that than bash my head against a shooter game now because half the people are cheating and various other things.
I think, though, honestly, and I'm not just saying this because I am a Bungie shill and fanboy, but I think the solution to that is what Destiny is doing, where it's like you have a competitive PvP, but if you can't handle it, it's overwhelmed with cheaters, you have this other part of the game. You can go and play PvE and you're safe from cheaters there, right? For the most part, you can play on your own, you can still get meaningful loot, and then if they fix the cheater problem or they do a big ban wave, you can hop back on to PvP. And I think that games are realizing this And like Call of Duty, you'll notice for the last two Call of Duties, the zombies mode, like Tash, if I'm in the zombies mode, I'm slaying it on zombies. I'm leveling up my gun. I'm getting attachments. It's the same progression in MP and zombies. So if I want to, like, if I get a brand new gun, I don't want to have to go and slug through with no attachments, iron sights against cheaters and have a miserable time. I go level it up in zombies until it's actually good, and then I can go back into MP. Now, unfortunately, the current zombies or Vanguard freaking suck. Everyone hates it, but still, it, like, gives you that escape. You have that connected PvE element. So I would expect, like, that's the move going forward. It's like if you're only PvP, you have to deal with cheaters, and if you don't, like, it's not good.
I just feel like it's, we've talked about this so many times, and one of the big ones, you know, we talked about was Halo, and like, oh, they got to get down, and Battlefield. I don't know what the situation is on Battlefield. Have you seen many cheaters on Battlefield?
There was one invisible guy going around knifing everyone, and so you'd see your teammates just like start to get knifed, and everyone was like, oh shit, and like people were in the chat like, he's here,
the
and was like
running news. Around. The good news is that this past week, Battlefield implemented I'm sorry. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow it goes live. They're implementing a report system. So if you're on PC and you're dealing with that, if they're not very common, because obviously it's a pretty big price tag to pay for the game and to get involved. So they're not a lot of them. But you will have the option to report them.
I don't know why the topic list, what kind of dingus made this topic list, but obviously what goes into this topic is the Halo cheaters topic. Dude, let's skip over topic number two real quick.
Yeah,
we'll come back because I think you made a great point. You said they don't want to pay that $70. I think that's a big thing. In Battlefield, there really has been, at least from what I know, maybe people are cheating. It hasn't been that obvious. But it's mainly because if you get banned, you have to pay $70. And the game's a buggy mess. Like, you know what I mean? No one's playing it regardless. No, it's still getting played. But it's like, Halo, free to play. Like, if you are a free to play game, you have to deal with, you're going to have to expect cheaters. And Halo's like, cheaters? Never heard of them. Never heard of them. We'll just go free to play. What could go wrong? That's, quote, Halo.
And the thing that's kind of crazy is it's only been out for a couple weeks, and they had cheats going in on day three, and it's like, how are you doing this? How are you creating these cheats that fast? Don't you need like the game code or like some different things there to build an algorithm? Like, I don't know how it works, but
honestly,
how do you have cheats for that game already? It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's like day one, Halo's here. Well, now we can go through walls. What? Yeah.
Dang,
seriously,
Matt McPherson with a $50 dono. That's huge. Thank you.
And became a real gamer as well. Appreciate it.
What a boss.
You know, with Halo, the other issue is, there's cheating going on, quite a bit of it. But you can't report to people, even if they are cheating. Ryan was telling me about this. There's no systems in place to just choose a username and report
them.
One of
the devs tweeted out, is like, here's a list of things we want you to do. And it included, like, record video of it happening, submit it to it. They, like, want you to do a full-fledged investigation.
Like start a
do
YouTube
a full
channel.
Investigative report.
Yeah. Oh.
And submit it. It's like, bro, no
that's
one's
your job.
Do that.
That's their job.
Exactly. And but he said in the same tweet, like, we're very committed to making sure that it's a, you know, a safe space. But he said cheaters are going to happen. You know, we'll try to manage it. We're committed to managing it, but it's going to happen.
Think about that for a sec, though. Think about that for a sec. Halo, free-to-play shooter. It's got one of the biggest IP names. It's going to be popular. No one thought of a report cheater function over there at 343? No one was like, guys, free-to-play games get a lot of cheaters. Are we doing anything about that? And they said, well, thank you for the question, Billy, but shut the fuck up, because we're not doing anything about that. We don't even have a report function, stupid. Like,
luckily, half our players are PIs, and they're going to be putting in all the information for us.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Exactly.
It's bizarre.
Well, they actually said, we don't need to worry about aimbot, because we just give all of our controller users aimbot anyways. That's what they said over at Halo. What a joke,
oh boy.
Baby.
I know Giggs and GameSager and some other people that are like big Halo fans, they've been complaining about the same cheaters, and they're picking up like the storm rifle and just one-shotting people all the way across the map over and over again, and it's like, okay, I guess we lose this game. Yeah. But the thing is it's not like one game or like 15 games and the person gets banned. We're talking some of these cheaters are playing 20 hours a day, grind it out. The one cheater has like 4,000 PvP kills in the first couple of days and like 40 hours played, and he's like never banned. And he's been cheating the whole time.
343 is like, damn, this dude's cracked, dude.
He's really good. Yeah.
This guy's cracked. Some pro teams better pick him up. Dude, must be an Xbox player with that aim assist, brother. This guy's really 100% accuracy. They're like, this guy, don't miss.
And, like, it's funny because this was one of the things that console players were concerned about from the beginning. They said, make sure you... Yeah. We love crossplay, but let us opt out if we want to. Yep. 343 was like, oh, yeah, we hear you. And then Infinite launches, and they're like, it's always on. You cannot toggle off crossplay. If you're playing on an Xbox console... You're in this exact same pool as everybody else. And now you've got these console players who are like, listen, we said this was going to happen. We're running into cheaters, but we don't have to. Just let us toggle it off. And they're like, no, we're not really exploring that option right now. They want their community to be all one, you know, just one player base. So they're not splitting that pool up at all, which I don't know. I can't say I blame console players for saying I play on a console and one of the reasons I do it is because I want to avoid cheaters. That's legitimate.
Do you think they'll ever make a shooter game that's like tab targeting? Do you know what that is? Like in an MMO where you like lock on target and you always hit? And so you would like engage in a fight with someone and maybe have like abilities or something like that. And so you can't miss. But it's like whoever uses their abilities better,
you know,
or like can like block, because like think of like For Honor and like, you know, there's like counters and stuff. Like, I wonder if they would ever do kind of like a shooter game like that with aimbot built in, because then no one will cheat. It'll be like everyone's aiming, but you have to use your abilities at better times. I don't know. That's just.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you'd think nobody would cheat, right? But it's like. Aimbot is a small portion of the cheats, right? Like, I got killed in Destiny 2 by a cheater that had unlimited colony shots. Right? Uh-huh. For those who don't know, colony is an exotic grenade launcher that, well, first of all, it's a heavy weapon, so you should not have more than the tiniest bit of ammo for it once a game from a heavy brick, but it shoots these little seeking swarm things. So this guy came around the corner and was like shooting it like 600 rounds per minute. Colony everywhere, no chance. Like, you have no chance against it. You're going to die. And so it's like that, you know, in that scenario, the aiming thing wouldn't matter. He's not he's using colony, so he doesn't have to aim. He just has unlimited ammo. And again, it's like, Bungie, how do you not have a system in place? If I've shot 5,000,
that's a huge outlier. Yeah,
if I've shot 5,000 colony rounds in 20 seconds,
like.
Or, there's not a mod that does that. There's not a build that does that, right?
They're like, well, this guy's got some cracked out build.
Yeah, exactly.
On, huh?
Oh, this is a really effective build. This or guy like, got just going here.
It's such a simple thing. It's like, this player started the game with super. It's like, well, that's impossible. Ban instantly. Just ban him. You can't have your super at the beginning of the game. If you spawn in with your super at the beginning of the game, you're cheating. Like, that's all there is to it.
Right?
But I don't know.
You've shot. It's like, you've just shot your sniper rifle at 1,000 rounds a minute and shot 450 rounds. Like, nope. Like, we're not letting that slide, right?
Maybe he picked up some extra ammo bricks. How do you know? I don't know.
Exactly. So that's the unfortunate part. You can see through walls. You can aimbot. You can have unlimited ammo. You can, like, warp around the map. So it's like, you cover one thing, like, with your ID attached. Maybe we will see that, but it's like, you cover that. There would still be plenty of ways to cheat in that game.
I just hope that they do something about this sooner rather than later in all games. And I hope they can get under wraps, because before it's done, like, every population is going to get annoyed by the cheaters. And I feel like with the more cheaters and how readily available they are, other people just start cheating because they're like, well, everyone else is cheating. I'm just going to cheat so I can compete. But I'm not in a world that I want to compete. I don't want play against cheaters.
Yeah, no, 100%. But that's almost like the Rykov argument again is like, well, if everyone else is cheating,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have to cheat that argument. And it's like, no, you don't. You could just mow your neighbor's lawn for $20 instead of take some flawless by cheating. I don't know. Like, but like, there's other ways, you know,
yeah.
Than like ruining the game for other people. Cause like at the end of the day, it's like you have to, in Halo or whatever, it's like you're ruining, you know, you are one individual on a team. So think of how many other people are not only on your team, they're like, Frick, we got this bullshit victory because our teammate's cheating. And then again, the other team, there's like, you know, four people in their team that their game is ruined. So you're just like, you're right. just such a negative. You're causing like, you know, such a negative experience for so many people.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of cheating, did you see that Ludwig is now cheating on Twitter? Or did you have, or on Twitch? Did you have something else to say first, Ryan? Sorry.
Nah.
Yeah. So Ludwig, if you don't know who Ludwig is, he is a very big streamer. He's continuing to grow on the Twitch platform. He held like the longest subathon, had the most subs within that subathon, broke a bunch of viewership records, and I mean, he's a freak of nature.
With a brilliant idea. Like, can I just explain? It's such a good, it's like, how the fuck didn't we think of it? Where it's like, if someone subs, it adds time to the stream. And there was no limit. So people just kept subscribing, and he would sleep on stream. He would eat on stream. It just kept going for days and days and days.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it eventually ended. Maybe like he had enough time for it to finally like end. But like obviously like the countdown was like getting low, and then a bunch of people would subscribe, so he just would never end, right? So very smart idea. Probably took a physical toll on the guy, but hey.
No doubt. But he can retire.
Yeah. But he can retire.
But he chose not to.
Exactly.
And so now he is being brought over exclusively to YouTube, and he's getting a contract. They've brought Courage. They've brought Dr. Lupo over. They brought Tim the Tatman over. I think they had Nick Merckx for a little bit, but Nick Merckx is going back to Twitch apparently. But now they're bringing over Ludwig. And so they're poaching some really big streamers from Twitch. And the rumor is Twitch is going, okay. And they're not really putting up a fight. They're not even counter-offering whatsoever. And the thing is, the rumor is, well, not even a rumor, he came with a video. Ludwig said, I said no to YouTube the first time. They came to me with a pile of money, and I said no. Because I'm a Twitch streamer. I want to be on Twitch. I want to feel valued by Twitch, and I want to grow my brand on Twitch. And he said no, because he thought Twitch was the way to go and the place to be. And then some time went by. They had all these, you know, he had that successful subathon. And Twitch didn't even say anything to him. They didn't say, like, hey, thanks for making us $1 million this month.
Or yeah,
like,
right.
You know, like, hey, thanks for being the biggest streamer and, you know, doing this crazy publicity stunt that a bunch of people tuned in for. Thanks, Ludwig. They didn't say anything. He told them, hey, I'm getting an offer from YouTube. And they said, we wish you luck. Have a good one. And he's like, all right, well, that's weird. I guess I'll go to YouTube then. And I mean, this is industry. This is big industry stuff. When yeah, streamers no doubt. are going over to the different platforms, it creates a lot of talk. When the first couple people move, I think there's a lot of streamers that are going, eh, good for them. I hope they succeed. But then Ludwig goes and Tim the Tam and all these people. And now people like me are going, huh, is YouTube the place to be? Is YouTube maybe going to be the future? And, I mean, we should probably dive into that as well. Did you guys see the YouTube gaming Upping Our Game blog? It was the YouTube gaming innovation in the gaming sector blog. They were talking about features that are coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of features that they're working on helping creators monetize ticketing merch, memberships, premium, YouTube premium ads, super chats, all these different things. But there's obviously some big things that are missing. So they announced officially gifted subs are coming. So someone who wants to gift subs in the chat, that will be coming. They've got some different things like the $100 million shorts fund. So if you start doing shorts, you can like get into this pool to get money out of the shorts fund. And they're just working on making YouTube a great place for creators to grow and how they're kind of dedicated to that for the future. And pretty much every advantage that Twitch had, the gap is now closed.
Well, I think what you said there, and Ludwig, I actually randomly stumbled yesterday or today on some Ludwig videos. Like, he makes dedicated YouTube videos for YouTube. Like, they were edited. They were, I was like, oh, this, like, a lot of the time you just see people, like, it's like, it's stream highlights, a little bit edited, but like, he seemed to have actually
good VOD content. That's
had some okay VOD. I mean, I didn't see too many videos, but it's like, these were made specifically for YouTube, right? And I was like, so he definitely is more familiar with the platform. But like, what you said was so crazy. This dude pulls, it was an industry-wide thing. Like, I saw so many posts on Twitter, on Reddit, on people were making YouTube videos about this on Twitch. I think Critical made a YouTube video talking about Ludwig's crazy streamathon. So millions, like literally tens of millions of people knew about this. Maybe not all of them watched it, but this was like a huge issue. And not issue, but like a huge thing going on. Like, this dude has an uncapped streamathon. You can keep donating and he will be on stream. Like, how far does this go? People were invested in this. And Twitch doesn't even say like, hey, good job, dude.
Hey, man,
like,
that was cool.
That was a good idea. You know, did Twitch even promote him during that time? Like, say, hey, Ludwig's on the streamathon.
I don't think he was on the front page even or anything like
dude,
that.
Dude, like, why would you? You should have like him on every front page with a timer, like how long he's been streaming, and Twitch is right there with him, being like, how far does this thing go?
This
like,
is huge. We're on board, man.
This is
man.
Huge.
Yeah,
but it's like, nope. We're gonna introduce. We're going to put sombreros on emotes. That's our idea. Like, that's what we're going to do. You know what I mean? Like,
so,
dude,
so one of the arguments, one of the arguments is like earned media is already expended. And so like, if you have Dr. Disrespect who grew his entire brand on Twitch, it's like, do you pay him $5 million to stay on Twitch and keep doing it? Or did he already do everything he can? And like, he already built up your platform more. And, you know, more people started streaming because they saw Doc and got inspired. And, like, Ludwig did this big publicity stunt. But is he going to do another uncapped streamathon? No, probably not. Maybe not. He already did it. We got a shitload of exposure. Why would we give him more money? He already did that. And so I don't know if that's the strat. But then you have big, giant YouTube who's saying, no, we care. We want those good creators here. We want people coming to our platform. And, like, I truly believe YouTube probably will overtake Twitch in the near future. Gifted subs, like, algorithm. If you were a new streamer and you stream on YouTube, but you had a title, like, how to get this new exotic in Destiny, while you were doing the quest the day one, I guarantee you would have more viewers. We're talking fresh Twitch account, fresh YouTube. And you started a stream, I guarantee I would gamble, I'd put $50,000 on it. That you would at least get one viewer on your YouTube stream, there's no guarantee you would get anyone on the Twitch stream. Same title, same time streamed, when an exotic came out in Destiny, because of that YouTube search algorithm, someone will find that stream. But
yeah, but hey, let's stop giving tips. I need those freaking views, dude.
Yeah, for sure,
but
for sure.
It is like something YouTube, I think, it might even become a problem because it's like when people are looking that up, they may click a stream, they think it's a video. Obviously, you want to see a full video start to finish. You're in the middle of a stream, and the guy's like confused on what to do, and you're like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? You're like, I don't like this. So I think they might need to start distinguishing because like, especially with the thumbnail change, like often streams will look like VODs, and you have like maybe a little thing, so that's a whole separate issue. But I think it's like that whole spent content thing is, I think it's completely false. Cause listen, dude, I was like I was a Battlefield 4 YouTuber. I did Battlefield 4 content. I played on the freaking Xbox cause I didn't have a PC, which let me do all those Xbox exclusive weapons, early, which like no one else had, but it's like, so like, imagine if at that point, like, I was on Twitch and YouTube poached me, right? And then Twitch is like, we already got some Battlefield 4 stuff from this guy. And then I discovered Destiny and I blew up with Destiny. Like, you never know what the future holds. Like, there's a whole new avenues to explore. So, like, dude, Dr. Disrespect is one game, like, could absolutely discover this hit game and just his content vibes with it so much and he blows up even more than he already has.
Like, he becomes the dream, like, dream size of shooter games or something.
Dude, you never know, like, what's it gonna be? Not Soda Pop, then Summit. When he started playing, like,
Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves. His viewership took a tank, and then he just kept going with it and just had fun doing it, and then it, like, blew up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you never know what's next, and this idea, like, Twitch, it's like, the YouTube and Twitch fight is interesting, because it's like, imagine, like, you know, two gunmen in the West, and they both are ready to draw, and then Twitch just shoots itself in the foot. And like, that, like, that's basically what happens all the time. Like, Twitch has nothing but scandals and drama and just these, like, terrible decisions, and now this is combined with people, huge profile people leaving Twitch. Like, it's just not going to go well for Twitch if they just keep continuing. Like, what's the last, the only, like, listen, Joey, clip this. The only innovation Twitch has come up with in the past 5 years is new ways to steal people's money. Think about it. It's basically like, oh, instead of donating, you can have bits. And now we get a cut, right?
Yeah.
Instead of doing this, we get a cut.
It's hey, always you just can boost up your favorite streamer. You can pay for them to get view-botted.
Exactly.
And
get some
viewers. Right. And oh, but this time, just 1 second, we just have one quick thing to say. The streamer doesn't get any money but exposure. We get all
exactly.
the money. So that's just exactly. one quick difference. They're crazy.
Yeah, that's the only innovating Twitch is doing.
Okay, do you know what? That's a bit far. You could do pseudo-racist emotes as well.
Oh, of course!
Like there was the Latinx sombrero emotes. Come on! Like, you could definitely do
For
that.
For those who don't know, it was like the like Latin month, Latin week, something
Latinx
like that.
Or, yeah.
Latinx. It was like an event, right? Celebrating Latin culture. And Twitch's idea, they said, we know what will get people really excited. And they, I'm dead serious. They said, why don't we put some sombreros on some already existing emotes? So you can have, like, you know, the pog face, but now it's right. got a sombrero on it. What? Like, everyone's yeah. like,
you
everyone's
compare
like,
that
this
apples
is...
to apples.
Yeah.
To what? It's like, remember what? But then you got Bungie, who's like, we had somebody, a developer in our studio, who has Latin American heritage, and had him develop a, you know, the artistry for a new Ghost Shell that's going to be in our festival, The Lost, honoring the Day of the Dead festival, and they like did a whole thing spotlighting it and let this guy run with it and do the artwork for it and explain the rich yeah. heritage behind it. And it's like, that's doing it right.
They could say, now put a sombrero on it. Yeah. Take a ghost, you know? Put a sombrero on it. Now it's Latin. You solved the problem, right? Like, yeah. that's literally what Twitch came up with. And of course, people are like, not only is this low effort, it's kind of racist. And so, like, they had to apologize. And it's just like, you, how did you idiots let this go? Like, some manager signed up, but like, I think this is a great idea. People are yeah. going to be putting sombreros on everything. And we're going to get so much, you know what I mean?
Oh. They could have incorporated, there are some really, really cool, positive influencers and streamers on their platform who have that heritage, you know? And it's like, let them be a part of this. You know, let them have some say, highlight them, let them talk about their culture. But no, they just went with sombreros.
Yeah.
One of the things I think that Twitch is lacking, honestly, when it comes to stuff like this, is YouTube gaming has some really positive forward-facing stuff for the public to see, right? They got Fwizz is out there. He's making tweets. He's interacting with the community directly, taking Q&As, talking about his passion for YouTube gaming and what their plans are for the future and how they really value the gamer culture. There's none of that on Twitch's end. Like, who do you think of? Who's the Twitch person? The guy, the girl, the whatever that you think of when you think of Twitch? There's nobody.
Literally nobody. I don't. I
the
have
only
no idea.
Person that even comes to mind for me is Hassan. And that's you know what I mean? Like, he was out there in the community, but that's the last person I can think of that.
He was
that
a little
that
too
sort of,
he was a little too out there in the community.
That's a big yikes.
really quickly, so I found another article with YouTube when I was looking up the gifted subs and everything, and it was saying, we know that the relationship between creators and game developers is going to be very important in the next few years. And so apparently, they're potentially working on almost like a creator code system / sales system directly for games, almost like a shop for games if you're streaming in that directory. So someone goes down below, sees Destiny Witch Queen. Oh, I'll buy it. And then that YouTuber gets paid. That's crazy. That would be insanity. Yeah. Oh, every single person that buys Minecraft who's watching Dream and he gets 1% of it, he'd make $1 billion. Like, it's crazy.
The only downside to that I can see, I will say right off the bat, you're like, okay, well, if now you're making money selling, like, you're maybe are you going to be a little bit too positive? If you're, like, streaming a game or reviewing a game, are you going to try to be positive to get sales and get money? Maybe, right? True. Like, so that could be a factor as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But still, it's also like, hey, if you were influenced to buy a game because of a creator, yeah, the creator should get a part of that in a sense. Like, it totally makes sense. It's like a reference code. Hey, you know what I mean? Check out this game.
All right, so do you want to jump on with the Battlefield stuff? We kind of touched on it.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning for sure, I think. You know, the game got, and we talked about it in the previous weeks, it was released probably about a month too early, at least.
Mm-hmm. I will say, before you jump on this topic, wait. There's a bunch of people in chat like, oh, are you guys reading chat? If you're new here, that's totally fine. We tend to just talk about the topics and all the stuff in gaming, and we don't read too much chat until the end. Then we have RGH After Dark, where we interact with the chat. You guys ask us questions, all that stuff. But we got to stick to the topics, okay? And this topic is Battlefield.
To be fair, I literally do this the entire stream and read that chat. There's not a single comment in our live stream that I don't see, just so we're clear.
I completely ignore you. Shut up. I don't care what you have to say. I'm just kidding.
True Vanguard is checking the chat every 2 seconds, praying that someone asks him what he's drinking so he can take another sip of his whiskey.
Oh, jeez. There's no whiskey tonight, bro.
So Battlefield.
Battlefield.
True, two updates. Yes. Two updates for bugs, hitches, and issues.
Yeah, so we've had a couple of patches. Well, actually, I think we're three patches in already. Initially, it was review bombed pretty heavily. Because it was pretty unstable.
Pretty buggy.
It was really buggy. It was really unstable, buggy. Really buggy. No fans or buts about it. That's the fact. DICE has been really diligent about addressing those bugs very quickly, actually. I'm like, so quickly that I'm actually surprised they couldn't get these things done before launch. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right?
how down to the wire do they have to be? If the biggest issues that got their game review bombed were fixable within 2 weeks... You know what I'm saying?
Like,
you couldn't rush a fix out for this.
Right? Like, imagine if they would have launched 2 weeks later. Imagine if they would launch tomorrow with all these fixes.
Right?
Like,
right? Tomorrow we have another patch. Tomorrow, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. Like, they're adding, the XP grind is kind of challenging in the game. It's a slow grind. It always has been in Battlefield. But there's been, like, very specific ways to boost your XP. Like, with, like, spotting bonuses and stuff. Which makes everybody in the lobby kind of play the same way, because everyone's just trying to farm XP, which is kind of boring. The sensor grenades.
Sensor grenades. Tash, in case you don't know, you have a sensor grenade. You throw it, and there's like a pretty wide area, and it pings. Like, it'll mark on the minimap everyone who's in that area, and you get +5 XP for pinging them. And if anyone kills any of those people, you get an assist, 50 XP.
Full XP for a kill.
In Breakout, which is like a small area of map, you literally are fighting over, like, you know, usually like one or two objectives at a time, and then it moves to a different area of the map and it keeps moving. It's 128 players. So I've thrown a spotter grenade and my ping is like,
bing, bing, bing,
spotter,
bing,
spotter, 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 and it's like 50, 50, 50, 50, because like people are killing like 12 people at a time with a tank, and you're just like, XP, XP, XP. So like, literally everyone who has unlocked the grenade just spams them everywhere in every gunfight.
And they just sit in the back. And chuck them out. They'll sit on an ammo crate and get more of them.
Is the best way to get XP. Like, grinding in that game is painfully slow because there's not many weapons, and so often when you level up, you don't get anything. Congratulations! Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun! You reach level 39! You get nothing! And then, like, level 40, you'll actually get a new weapon. Mm. So they didn't have enough weapons to do, like, one new weapon each level, which would have been fantastic, but...
Yeah. So a few things to talk about. So they've already addressed most of the bugs. Bullet deviation, they tackled it. Hit registration, they tackled it. The revive bug, they tackled it. The rubber banding bug, they tackled it. Like, all these things have already been hit. Tomorrow we get UI improvements. We get XP quests. which will give you, they're basically like, think of like a bounty system where it's like, do this thing in a game, you'll get a bunch of XP. If you complete all of these XP quests, you get a unique cosmetic item. You don't have to pay. It's not a microtransaction. It's like, do these things, you're going to get a bunch of XP, and you're going to get a unique cosmetic for the week. Every week it's going to refresh. Like, that's pretty cool. UI improvements. If you're a medic, like, you're going to be able to have a lot more information on screen. Like, who is hurt? Who can use a heal? Who's down and needs a revive?
All and when of that you are down, you can actually see where the nearby medics are. That was a big problem. Like, you're like, I don't know who's the medic. I'm just going to revive. And then as you were dying, someone runs up.
Yeah,
and you're like, no!
Crap. And on top of that, if you're playing on PC or if you're cross-playing with PC, there's new report features that are going to be integrated. Like, it's a lot of great changes. Now, someone in chat actually mentioned this. What's the current player count looking like? So on Steam charts, it peaked at 100,000 players this month in the past 30 days. In the past 24 hours, it peaked at 30,000 players. And people are like, it's already so low. And it's like, well, I mean, yes and no. That's a pretty healthy player base for one. You got to remember, it's not just on Steam. It's also on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series S, and X. Like, that's just one part of the community, too. So it's a pretty healthy player base.
It's also a paid game. Like, Halo Infinite is a 272,000 all-time
peak.
That's
right.
And 129,000 24 hours, but it's free. It's free. Anyone can play that.
Exactly.
What do you think Fortnite's player base was in the first week? It was like 18 million. It was like an unfathomable amount. It makes all these games look like a goddamn joke. So, it's hard to compare and like, it's easy to look at those numbers and be like, well, that's not very good, but that's still 70,000 players or 30,000 players. That's like $21 million or like $22 million dollars right there. And that's only concurrent players. And so if you're looking at total players and how many people bought that game, right? Did they already sell 70, $80 million worth? That's
probably
pretty insane.
You know, but like, you know, I think a lot of people refunded though because they were unhappy with the state of the game.
True.
I can tell you this. When I queue up a search for a match, it is instantaneous. Every time. I never sit and wait in a queue. The only thing you're sitting and waiting on is the stupid, like, intro cinematic. It's like,
oh,
I don't care about this thing. Like, the
God.
Russians want to take this thing in Japan, and we have to make sure that we... I was like, I don't care. Just get me in.
I literally, like, almost cringe to death every time those intro cinematics play, and then, like, shows your squad. Your guy comes up.
Let's get this done. You
Let's
know, some
get it
cheesy,
done. Like,
cheesy line.
So, someone said, I think my teammate, I forget what he said. He's like, my guy just said, like, I've had my morning coffee. I'm ready to go. Like, yeah, that's what the Navy SEALs say when they're, like, about to go kill people. Like, I just had my morning coffee. I'm ready to go, baby. It's like, shot, dude. Like, but it's like, of course they're doing it because eventually they're going to monetize, you know, getting skins. And its skin comes with a unique line and all this crap.
Well, unique cosmetics, completely free. Complete the activity. They've got new every season, so they are going to have a seasonal sort of a shtick. So this is what they've said. Every season they're going to bring a new specialist, maps, weapons.
Whoa.
And
they didn't say this. It was leaked.
It was leaked. Yeah. But to be fair, it does follow suit. Every game, we're going to exclude Battlefield 5 because that one tanked, and they abandoned ship, okay? But everyone before that, the process has been release a game. It doesn't have a ton of weapons in it or a ton of maps, but the good maps and the good guns. And then we're going to start a steady, consistent trickle of new maps, new guns, new challenges to complete. It was kind of like a seasonal sort of a model in the past too, the way that these DLCs would roll out. They weren't like super expensive, but they would bring maps and guns and everything, and it was pretty cool. And that's been the way Battlefield goes for a long time now, for, you know, the past 15 years. So it's no surprise that they're going to continue that trend. And it's also no surprise that they were unwilling to abandon the specialist system if they already have specialists in development that they're going to be shipping out with every season, and that's
the
part of their deliverables
thing. the big thing from that leak is it says 5 to 6 new weapons per season, and the game is kind of desperate for new weapons. So that if that they actually hit anywhere near that goal, even 4 new weapons, that's going to be a big deal.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just going to keep expanding the sandbox for sure.
Yeah,
and
I'll probably
we
jump
also
in
have
when
another
have
update
the...
in 2 weeks. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll probably jump in now that they've made a bunch of these different changes, like the hitboxes and the all that stuff. I mean, why not? I played it one day. I've got it downloaded. I just haven't really played it. So now that it's going to be all patched up, I'm going to give it a try. And
play with me, gamer. Be my squad.
I'll try it. Yeah, I'll try it. Cyberpunk got review bombed, though, recently.
But.
Not
in a good way. It's all positive reviews. Like,
yeah.
Out of nowhere, people are like, let's just revive Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Like,
so The community sort of took it on themselves to say, you know what? Cyberpunk's actually pretty good now. Let's let some other people know about it. And so there's been like this online internet community push to revive Cyberpunk. And the reviews are pretty positive. And to their credit, I mean, they're way behind schedule. I mean, if you rewind, you know, a year and see what they were saying they were going to deliver, they're way behind schedule. But they have
the timeline that was just like blank. Everyone's like, there's something
in the future,
coming. We don't know what
we're
it
gonna
is.
We're going to do that? Yeah, that's
and
right.
And they failed to deliver on that. Like the vaguest timeline ever. They're like
and they were swimming question mark maybe.
They were drowning in legal issues. They were drowning in, if you remember, they even had like their stuff was compromised. They had like a breach, a security breach.
Oh yeah, yeah.
As well, and that had to set them back. So it's like, man, that really sucks. I feel bad for the developers, not the guys at the top. I don't feel bad for them. I feel bad for the developers who poured their heart and soul into the game. Because I played it on launch, and I remember talking about this when we were doing the show back when the game launched. A buggy mess, crashed all the time, was not fit for, to be on a shelf anywhere at all for sale, period. But if you ignored the bugs, which you shouldn't do, by the way. I'm not endorsing buying things that are broken. But if the bugs didn't exist, the game itself was actually a really good game. It was a pretty good game. And I've done like 2 full playthroughs of it. I got my money's worth out of it. Yes, I had to deal with the heartache of having my console crash. I had to deal with the heartache of all the bugs and the issues and the save wipes and all that crap. I had to deal with it. But the game was good. And now that they've fixed the bugs and the game is stable and it runs the way it's supposed to run, it's a really good game. It really is, truthfully, honestly, a really good game. Now, on top of that, first quarter of 2022, we're supposed to get the next-gen console update. So if you're on a PS5 or an Xbox Series S or X, you're going to be able to play the game the way it was designed to be played. And that's way too late, but at least it's happening.
Yeah.
Apparently, way too late, but at least it's happening.
Apparently, it went on sale, too, for like 50% off. So it might be also an influx of new players, which is like, yeah, good.
Trying it and being like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, they probably fixed a lot of the bugs.
Yeah.
And I think they're looking at the second quarter of next... it's either first or second quarter next year is the new DLC as well. Might be a good time to dive in then.
And usually with CD Projekt Red, like, their DLCs are pretty massive. You know, like, Witcher Blood and Wine is the famous one. It's, like, basically a new game.
Hey, you want to play another 100 hours of the game?
Yeah. People are like, holy crap.
And, like, sometimes the DLCs are, for some of these games, are wild. Like, did you play the Far Cry, I think it was, like, Blood Dragon or whatever? Did you ever?
No, I didn't buy it. No, I'm familiar with it.
It's like a super, like, futuristic, like, cyber...
Like 80s, kind of.
Yeah, and it's, like... What's that? Did you see that movie Kung Fury? It's like futuristic, but like it's got like the kind of back like the 80s vibe. What is it? Retro futuristic is what is like the genre. It was amazing. It was better than the base game. It was just a DLC. Like I shouldn't say just a DLC, but it was a DLC. It was incredible. It was so sick. And so Cyberpunk can, you know, bring a good DLC, and they've got such great models when they work, and they're not bugging out, and like, you know, they've got some pretty cool systems in place. Apply them into some new areas, polish things up. I want to return to that game. I never got out of the tutorial because the tutorial was bugged for me.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't, like, there was a section where I had to, like, tag and target the enemies and then go in there and take them out. And, like, I had to remap the tag button, but it would never target them. Like, it would never allow me to pass that part. Even when I rebinded, I put it on my mouse. I put it on J. I put it on backspace. I put it anywhere. I couldn't tag the damn targets. It was just like, all right, I guess I will not finish this tutorial. 2 hours in to the tutorial, and I finally gave up. So
should have plugged in a controller.
I did. That's the thing. Oh. It was just like, it was the input was just not functioning. I couldn't do it. But
RIP.
I hope to return to it. And I mean, I'm sure they've made some patches to things like that now. But the other one I wanted to talk about, though, was not Cyberpunk. Hold on here. I wrote it down.
Of a DLC?
Just
big DLC?
Oh, Endwalker. The Final Fantasy thing?
No.
Apparently, just because we're talking about...
You're on your own.
No. Yeah, you're on your own with this one, Tash.
Well, apparently... Hold on here. I think our cameras froze.
Uh-oh.
Maybe just mine froze. No, both of ours froze. What's going on here?
Is it frozen on stream or just...
I don't see anything wrong with it.
But we're on a delay. No, they are frozen now. Yeah. You're right.
I am not sure how to fix that. Maybe if I go like this? No, that doesn't work either.
Shoot. Can you still hear us, chat?
Let me leave the call quick, maybe.
Uh-oh.
Let's see if that brings it up.
I don't know.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so someone was saying that, because Final Fantasy has been kind of taking over, and it's really been growing, and the hype's been growing, but apparently the subscriber count for Final Fantasy Endwalker is going to beat World of Warcraft for the first time ever in history. So it's finally going to eclipse the following count, which is crazy. It's like... Did Final Fantasy actually beat World of Warcraft? And
apparently, well, especially because, like we were talking about last time, Warcraft's not making anything anytime soon. They're not working on the game because there's so many issues at Activision Blizzard.
Yeah, and so it's like they're taking the reins. And you know, with that knowledge, I bet a lot of WoW players are like, "Well, nothing's going to change. I'll go play something else. I'll go play this Final Fantasy game, or at least."
Yeah,
you know, like, a company that's going to keep updating their damn game.
Yeah, like, why if you're a Warcraft fan and you're like, this Final Fantasy looks good, Bev, why wouldn't you jump ship? Like, you know no content is coming for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can always jump back in, but it's like, they are not making any content anytime soon. And the content they have been making has been, like, lackluster.
Like, RuneScape is getting more updates than World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Although RuneScape is the best game of all time. Anyways, that's besides the point. All
right, guys. Well, I think that's it for the topic. So we're going to shift into RJH After Dark. Guys, as Tash is going to read out some of the donos, feel free to ask us whatever questions you want, and we're going to answer them. So go ahead, ask away, and yeah, we'll see what's going on there. Oh, also, should mention, if you don't have to, but it certainly helps your question get answered. If you want to become a member, just click the join button. It's right beside the subscribe button. And you get some nice emotes and some cool... You just support the channel. You pay for
speaking
our editor,
of which,
pay for True Vanguard's very expensive whiskey taste.
Oh, please, this doesn't even touch that.
Yeah, you
and
pay
we're going to need to quadruple our member account.
You pay for 1% of True Vanguard's whiskey taste.
That's right. Brandon, we had Brandon Marble come in with a fresh membership as well. Thank you so much, Brandon. Appreciate you. Welcome to the RJH family. Appreciate
you. And a $20 super chat earlier on saying, I play on PS5 exclusively, and Cronus has been available for years, most prominently in Call of Duty. That's a cheating platform. Cheaters will be here forever, it seems. Matt McPherson with a $50 donation. No comment. He just drops the dollars and looks at us like, that's it.
I think he said a separate comment. He's just like, oh, love the podcast. You guys are the best podcast or something like that, which we know.
Andrew Preston with a $10 donation, Joey, the video editor, recently talked about going full-time and quitting his retail job. He does a really good job on your guys' podcast. Please encourage him to go pro. Awkward, because we literally just fired that guy. Anyways, thanks for the $10. That won't be going to him.
Did we? No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. He's
good. Bro,
actually, the clip he posted today is our best performing clip so far. So fingers crossed, maybe it'll actually pop off.
Hey, guys, if you want to do us a solid, you really want to support the podcast, anytime you see those clips come up later in the week, even if you were here for the live show, if you want to click on that clip, engage with it in some capacity, whether you're liking it or commenting on it, that really helps out. So appreciate
it. You know what also helps those clips do well? If our editor, Joey, stopped uploading them at 1 in the morning. I keep seeing them go live at 1 in the morning. I'm like, what are you doing?
A lot of people are asking him for anniversary content. I think Mike's holding off until Witch Queen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I know me and Kagus are definitely going to be diving in with both feet, ready to go.
Well, I was going to come back, and then Glad and Frostbolt ditched me, and they're playing with Chevy now, and I'm like, oh.
Hey, if you want to do the dungeon, me and Hovi are doing it on launch day, go time.
I hate Hovi. Wait, actually.
I know.
You don't have a third?
No, we don't have a third.
What do you think the power level will be needed?
Might be higher for a dungeon, I'm not gonna lie. Like, you probably don't need pinnacle 13, levels.
I am 13. I think I'm level 1322, 1323.
I think you'll be fine.
Should be okay.
Yeah? I think you'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I would be down to do the dungeon. That would be really fun.
Someone said, talk about Galley. Yeah, so one of the main things about this DLC, listen, you want to sell? You want to sell DLC? Galahorn is included in it. Galahorn is like the most infinite, the most overpowered, you know, Destiny 1 exotic of all time. You know, people's reactions to getting Galahorn, you know, made, you know, multiple videos and stuff like that. So the thing is, they're finally adding it to D2. If you don't know what it's about, here's what happens. Galahorn, its exotic perk is Wolfpack Rounds. You hit something, it locks on, so it has built-in tracking. You hit something, and then it explodes, and then all these little seeking projectiles come out and loop around and will hit that target again. Or if it's in PvP, you hit the first guy, he's obviously dead with the initial rocket explosion, and all these other rounds go and seek any other nearby guys who maybe survived the initial explosion. So very, very good rocket launcher. But there's always a problem of, like, how do you add it back? Like, obviously, Bungie's in kind of a bind. Like, people are expecting this to be very, very good. And if they're not, they're going to be disappointed, because it's the freaking Galahorn.
Yeah.
At the same time, if Bungie makes it as good as it was, it's just going to be blatantly overpowered and the best rocket launcher to use in any scenario. There's a little bit more diversity. So even if it was the best rocket launcher, are you still going to use it over linear fusions with particle? Probably not. Are you still going to use it over other stuff? So potentially it won't be as bad, but certainly I would expect a pretty darn powerful weapon to enter into the game.
There's a question here from Mordred. He said, how long did it take you to play mouse and keyboard? I've been playing between my PS5 and gaming laptop, and I just can't seem to get the mouse motion down. Fair. It is definitely tough early on. And I have a couple of videos in Destiny where it's like, Mchash, why do you suck now? I don't remember quite what the thing is. But when I was making the transition to mouse and keyboard, I got tons of questions like, well, yo, what happened? Like, you're not very good anymore. And I was really rusty. But I also have another video, and another guy, I think his name is Penguins or something like that, did a video on, I used an aim trainer for a month, here's what happened. And so I essentially copied his video and thumbnail and everything. And I tried it. I was like, would an aim trainer actually work? And it does. It absolutely does. There's a bunch of free aim trainers.
I bought Kovacs on sale. I just have yet to use it because I never miss shots. So if I start getting rusty
I've played with you. I know that ain't true.
But Kovacs, there's aim labs. And here's the thing. If you look at an NHL hockey player, how many times has that player practiced and not played games, but just practices? How many times has an NHL player, from the time they were 5 years old playing hockey to the NHL, how many practices have they done? Well, the thing is everyone who's playing these shooter games all you do is play the game. And half the time you're in the lobby, half the time you're dead, you're not actually aiming, you're not actually practicing. And the big one, the worst one, is Battle Royale games. I made a video on PUBG, I made a video on Fortnite saying, how do you get better at the game? Literally sprint butt naked towards enemies and just fight them. Because half the time you're in a Battle Royale game, you're not even shooting anyone. You're just hoofing it through a field. You're never actually improving. And so I think that those aim trainers do work, and I saw like massive increases to my accuracy, and it absolutely translated into game. It just, you just have to commit to it and like build that muscle memory.
Can I say, I as a testimonial, there's a guy that I streamed with for about 2 years straight, playing Apex Legends. We played on console for the first half of it. Both of us were on PlayStation. And he decided he saved up a lot of money. He wanted to invest. He bought a new gaming PC, and he decided he was going to be good at M&K, right? That's what he wanted to do. His name was Pure Blade. So if you ever check this guy out, check him out sometime. His name is Pure Blade. I'll find a link to his Twitter for you. But anyway, so I'd stream with this guy. When we made the transition, when he got his PC, because then I have to be in crossplay lobbies, right? I got to play in the PC lobbies with him now that he's on PC. This guy, our win rate went down. Like, and it just took a huge hit immediately when he made that transition. But then he would be, I see this every time I log into Steam, I see him on Kovacs. He's always in that aim trainer working on his M&K aim. And right now, I mean, it didn't take too long. He was committed to it. And like Mike was saying, it took about a month. This guy is nuts on M&K. He went from never touching M&K before in his life a year ago. Mm-hmm. So now this guy is nuts. His accuracy, his clips, everything he posts is just insane. He'll post these like crazy clips where he's running around with a Kraber in Apex Legends and just whipping around. When he's like point blank, just 180, just popping guys in the head. And it's like, you got to commit, you know? If you commit to it, you're going to have some success. Check him out sometime.
So someone, Will, with the dono, thank you very much, said, I'm a top 1,000 Forza Horizon player here. He's like, Forza Horizon 5 is completely full of cheaters. He's like, the leaderboards are, like, ruined. Impossible to get past top 50 on any track because everyone in top 50 is a cheater, which is crazy. It's like, dude.
How would you cheat in Forza, though? Like, what are they? What? Are they going, like, actually, could you elaborate in chat? Like, are they going faster somehow? Like, are they,
probably.
Or are they using, like, an algorithm for the perfect line? Or, like, how would that work?
Yeah, I don't even know, but, like.
they get to go 4 seconds before everyone. Everyone's, like,
right.
I'm going now, baby.
They've got red shells in Forza.
Yeah, like.
Mushroom boosting through the freaking bushes.
Even the racing games aren't safe. Like, it just cheaters. I don't know. It's just, like, such a weird thing. Like, I just don't understand. Like, to me, it would just take all the fun out of it. It's like, oh, I didn't, like, win. Like, oh, I'm top 50. No, you're paying for the program that lets you be top 50. It's just that you paid to have your name on a leaderboard. I don't know.
That's right. For the cloud.
Nothing's safe, though. No, nothing's safe. There's cheaters everywhere.
They mount that on their mantle at home. I was in the top four Forza racers.
Back in my day.
They say Forza cheaters are significantly faster in a straight line and faster in the corner. They're using speed hacks. Oh my, so they're literally just faster.
Okay, I gotta go.
They're in a Honda Civic. They're in a Honda Civic with 3,000 horsepower.
It's all over the place.
Oh my god.
The speed hack. Okay, I'm Googling this thing right now. I got to turn the audio down so I don't do it. I want to see what's going on here. He's just ripping past everyone. This is insanity.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. His car is literally just faster than everyone else's car. He's going, he's ripping, and this guy in a truck just zooms past him. Impossible.
That's crazy, man. Like, yeah. So you
here, I'll put the video and you're gonna be like, oh, this guy in the car is cheating. No. The guy in the car is not cheating. Look at the guy in the truck that zooms past him. That's the cheater. You'll see. Click that clip. I just put it in the chat. That is sussy baka.
I'll check it out.
It's good.
I'm watching this. So we were talking about, like, you know, oh my God, yeah. We're like, oh, like,
I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting.
You know, first person shooters. It doesn't even matter. It's like they're cheating in Forza Horizon. Oh my God! He just takes off on the water.
The way he takes that corner.
Oh my God! The way he takes that corner. That's exactly what I expected. The way he takes that corner, that's exactly what I expected. Because he literally slams into the corner. So it's like, that makes sense. Your actual ass. You can't play the game. You so can't you drive speed for the day. Exactly. Oh my God, dude.
Someone's doing the Mini Cooper races. They're using a Mini Cooper and beating the races in 15 seconds. Okay. Oh my if you gosh. Find that TikTok, tweet it at me, because now I'm going to be addicted to speed cheats in Forza.
Forza Horizon, like, cheats. Like, it is, like, I would imagine, though, like, it was just like ruin your time. Like, why? Like, oh, I've leveled up my car, souped it up. I'm really good at Forza, and some guy just yeets past you at a million miles an hour. You're like, oh, there you go. You know,
honestly, get yourself a GameCube and play Need for Speed Underground. And yeah, that's the only game you need.
Well, you know what's interesting? You know what's actually really interesting? I just thought of is, like, we kind of talked about, oh, well, there's a difference in Battlefield. You have to pay for it, right? Well, Forza Horizon, you have to pay for it, except it's free on Game Pass.
Game Pass.
So all those Game Pass games are now susceptible to have all these, like, randos in there cheating. Yeah. So hopefully Xbox can do, like, an Xbox-wide thing, because you have to have, like, the Xbox app open when you're playing these Game Pass games. And, like, if you get banned for being a cheater in one game, it should ban you from Game Pass. Do I think Grandmasters are easy? Like, for me, yeah, generally, like, no, you know, they're definitely not, like, easy. If you know what you're doing, if you have a good build and you know the strats, like, you can definitely beat them pretty darn quick.
Oh.
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it, is your investment before you get to the GM. How much do you play? How fleshed out is your build? What exhausts do you have access to? All that stuff, yeah.
Straticus had a really good point. I really quickly, though, Franco, with a $20 donation, love all of you independently and as a group. In this podcast, all I do is laugh, all episode, informative and entertaining, win-win. Thank you so much, you sexy beast. Straticus, Titanfall 1 is shutting down. They're not shutting down the servers. You can still play it, but you can't buy it. No new purchases of Titanfall, because they know that it's a buggy trash can, but they don't want to shut the servers down on the dedicated audience, which is, like, it's an old game. Like, at this point, should you even be able to buy it? Make it free, if anything.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So, like,
they have to pay for the servers to support the game.
Yeah, I guess.
It makes sense.
True. But they also did say Titanfall is not going anywhere. Like, they're going to, you know, the universe is not dead. It's going to live on in Titanfall 2, which is a buggy mess, and Apex, which is great. But also in the future. So I think they're saying Titanfall will happen again. It's just not right now. Because they have other games that they're supporting. And, I mean, they're obviously going to milk Apex. It's just such a successful game. They'd be dumb not to keep making content for Apex as a cash cow type game. And, I mean, you almost don't want to make a Titanfall 3. You can get some sales and everything, but you almost don't want to pull people from Apex. You want them playing milking them.
No. You're looking at this wrong, Tash.
Why?
You sell Titanfall 3, and when you purchase Titanfall 3, you get access to the completely OP Apex Legends character that just dropped because it's a Titanfall 3 character.
True.
That's exactly what Call of Duty does with Warzone, right?
True. Yeah.
You buy Vanguard, you get the Vanguard weapons. And it just so happens that the Vanguard weapons are cracked out of their mind. What a surprise. And we have to nerf them later, right?
Yeah, true. Well, I saw a dev post. I think it was, he's one of the Division devs. Who did that? Anyways, one of the Division devs talked about it, and it's like, almost every dev and almost every company is going to put out the OP weapon. Because why would you not put out the OP weapon? It excites people. It's fun to use. If they put something lackluster out, they're just going to get trashed on. it's like almost every time a gun comes out, it's like, is it going to be OP? Yes. Is it going to go live even though it's OP? Yes. They're not going to undersell it. They're not going to have it be balanced because it's got to be that hot new thing. It's going to power creep. Or else people just don't interact with it, which is like...
I mean, that's the Galahorn argument that we just brought up. Like, it probably will be pretty cracked, and then it'll get nerfed in a couple months, right? Yeah. After they've already got the sales.
Which is like, honestly, make it a meta thing. It's fun to use for a while, and then you change it up. They always do that. They always rotate things around. Like, swords, the Fallen Guillotine was just nuts.
That was so much fun. Like,
months.
And then they nerfed swords, and then no one uses them, and then they nerfed them again, even though no one was really using them that much. It's like, okay...
Yeah,
we really hate swords now.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. Destiny 2 was a mistake. Well, we're too late now. Too many hours invested now, baby.
And my addiction still isn't gone.
Yeah, exactly.
D1 was fun, but man, I wouldn't want to go back.
Yeah, D1 had a lot of issues.
Yeah, I mean, say what you want about Destiny 2, but it's a more polished game than Destiny 1 ever was.
For sure. But I think Destiny 1, you know, it had so many good moments. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, and it was like that raw, like it was almost fun that they didn't know what they were doing yet because everything was cracked. Like,
we were all just figuring it out. Yeah.
Thorn was two-tapping people. Messenger was absolutely like bodying people.
All right. Well, thank you so much for all the donations. Crazy donations. A ton of new members as well. Great viewership as well in this podcast. One of the best we've had in a few weeks. So thank you so much for that. We do this podcast every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. So we'll see you next Wednesday. And we're going to have more juicy topic because they always put out the juicy news right before.